Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We're joined by an incredible man, Terry Farley. He's been refereeing since 1952.
Before I was born.
And he's finally hung up the whistle. He did some pretty major games over the years, but he had a great story. Very nice guy. We spoke to him. And, of course, it was Friday, which meant we looked at the sport on TV with Martin Kellner. Mike Ward was here.
Yes.
And he looked at the non-sporting TV, the Star TV reviewer. And David Lloyd joined us. We reflected on day one of the Ashes, and we caught Bumble on a bit of a stroll. And he had a few issues, as you will discover. It is 6 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Not much of a game last night. Spoiled a little bit by the sending off, really.
Yeah.
Arsenal defended well. But
a great rear guard by them, yeah, I think it's fair to say. They did defend well.
But Liverpool not as dangerous without Salah and Mane. Who knew?
That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, God, having said that, though
didn't they?
Minamino, the chance at the end.
He's not a striker.
The goal gaping, as they say. Yeah, that was the moment. But they did. And Saka had a good chance just before that. So it could have been very different. Could have been worse for Liverpool.
Yeah, Saka was a handful, constant threat. He's a great player, but he might be a doubt for Sunday. I think you'd be delighted.
Well, it sounds like
that.
The game is a doubt for Sunday. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens.
You can't get games called off for injuries. You can't. Not if you're lending out players like Balogun and all that. You can't. That would be completely wrong. COVID's one thing.
It depends if they get. I mean, Odegaard has tested positive. They could get more. Who knows?
They're all in a room with him.
Yeah, possibly.
No, of course.
Anyway,
not.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
But I was thinking about Granit Xhaka last night. I mean, he's been sent off five times. The refs must think he's an idiot. They must. He said, I don't know what's wrong with him. He had so much to do, Jota, there. He had to control the ball. He's got to put it in. It was just pointless.
He's a frustrating player. Isn't he? If he was your player, from an Arsenal fan's point, I've talked to Arsenal fans about him, and he is a frustrating player because he is a good player, and we saw in the World Cup, he is a fantastic player, but he gets a bit wrapped up in the old machismo of it sometimes. I think sometimes he just gets himself sent off. He's a real red mist merchant and all. Often if he doesn't get the rubber to green, he'll go charging in. And when you know there's a player there, it must be so annoying when he gets sent off so often. As I said, he's a bit of a cartoon hard man, and he plays up to it a little bit too much at times, doesn't
it's
he?
It's true, absolutely. And the papers...
Although last night wasn't an example of that, of course.
No,
and just a bad...
Just a bad challenge, wasn't it, really? The papers have listed the titles that Prince Andrew has had to give away, had taken away, really. Yeah. He'll always be the Duke of Golf for me.
Yeah, that's right. That's the title you think he'll never lose.
Yeah, I was looking at all of them, thinking if there was a vacancy for me. A lot of them I couldn't do.
Some of the jobs you're not going to get.
The Small Arms School Corps Colonel in Chief. Right. Well, I've got quite short arms.
Yeah, you or Mike Parry could both do that, couldn't you? That's right, yeah.
That'd be good.
So, somebody in the world of motorsport, Andy, you noticed earlier on, has just landed a plum gig. Is that right?
Yes.
What's his name?
Aston Martin Formula One have just appointed Mike Crack.
We realise we are going off Niagara Falls in a barrel with this one.
I've got a few.
And Mike doesn't need any TV formats at the moment, does he? Because he's just landed a new job.
A good job.
You can never have too much work, can you?
Team principal,
Mike Crack. How are we spelling Crack, Andy?
Oh, to be fair, he is a K. He's K-R-A-C-K. But you
okay, well, it's. I mean, that doesn't hurt because it allows you to like the play on words that you'd see when it's in the TV listing. So, as it's Friday, you can bring in games. claims, we'll have some TV formats for is Mike Crack?
Mike Crack. Now I've got Back, Crack and Sack.
Well, that's we've ripped off The Apprentice with Neil Back, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
It's Neil Back, the England rugby international, and Mike bringing you an Apprentice style format. Mm. They just say, you're sacked, basically.
And then I've got Mike's free kick coaching series, which I'm really looking forward to. Another crack in the wall.
Okay, that's very good. Now, as we said, remember the time of day. And so when you put your suggestions in, I mean, I did have one that involved Mike reminiscing about some great games at Highbury. But of course, we're not doing that.
I know, it's a shame.
TalkSport.com/ text 81089, tweet TSHNJ, TSHANDJ, and the ones we can read out within reason, we will, won't we?
We're talking about Arsenal. The Arsenal fans made a lot of noise last night, but honestly, they were singing Que Sera, Sera, we're going to Wembley at 0-0 with about 100 minutes of football to go in the tie. Give it a break, you know.
Yes. Yes, so we haven't reflected on our game. It was all pretty straightforward in the end, wasn't it, for the game
yes,
on Wednesday?
Yes, it was, really. It was, a VAR was Chelsea's friend, but all the decisions were right.
They were right. You can't argue with that.
But it just shows you, I mean, it just, this thing about, Alan Shearer's right about the FA and the FA Cup and VAR. Their attitude, the FA, just makes no sense. The way they say, oh, well, if it can be used, it should be used. They don't seem to realise it. It just destroys the whole competition's
it's
integrity.
It's their competition, you know, of all the games.
But it's ridiculous. You've had teams go out that would have gone through.
Sure.
And teams would have gone through who've now gone out. It just makes no sense.
No, I totally agree. I mean, they've talked about the integrity of that competition for years, and they've their own competition. They've slowly eroded it by semi-finals at Wembley, chipped away at their own competition. Yeah. I agree with you.
If you want to bring in for the semi-final and final, if you have to do that, fine, but not for when there are still teams in there that don't have it.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're saluting Mike Crack, who's just got a great gig at Aston Martin as the team principal, and you're coming up with some TV formats, many of which, as we've said, we cannot read out. A nice one from Harvey in Chorley, who says, send all your Christmas unused selections of almonds, Brazils, walnuts and hazelnuts to Mike and to try out in A Tough Nut to Crack. Very good, Harvey. We like that one. And we've also got another one here from Andy, who says, Mike Crack goes into partnership with the former Swindon boss, Martin Ling, producing pig-based pub snacks. Oh, we'd all watch that one, of course. Yeah. So keep those coming. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Let's reflect on the cricket now. Mm. First day of the fifth and final Ashes test, Australia finished 241 for six. A bit of bad weather coming in towards the end of the day. Another was 100 for Travis Head. Very good knock by him. Doesn't tell the whole story at one point. Australia were reduced to 12 for three.
Could have been worse. And Labuschagne was dropped, of course.
Yeah. And the bowling then wasn't great. Bumble joins us now. Good afternoon, Bumble.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm in a field in North Yorkshire. I don't really know where I am.
we'll send out a search party by the end of this if you're in trouble.
I bet it's not as green as the pitch at Hobart.
Well, it is. I can't tell you what I'm carrying in my hand, but I've got two dogs with me. Use your imagination.
Yeah. that's good. You're a good, responsible dog owner. We know exactly what you mean.
It's not a comment on England's bowling.
No, that's very true. It was very frustrating. I mean, look, it's not helped by the fact that Robinson could barely walk, let alone bowl by the end of it. But, you know, they were short of personnel, which meant Root had to just bowl twice the amount of overs he probably normally would. And the guys that could bowl didn't bowl very well.
Yeah, they like the walking wounded, 12 for 3, and it just looked that pitch. It looked an April pitch in the UK. It was cold, it was overcast, it was damp, a green pitch. 12 for 3 is what you'd expect, but then the wheels fell off, as they say. No Jimmy Anderson, I'm absolutely convinced. If Jimmy Anderson had been playing, it'd have been 150 all out, if that. But they bowled inexplicably badly after 12 for 3. Concentrate. Labuschagne comes in. Labuschagne's a king wicket. Concentrate. We put him down, it'd have been, 15 for 4?
Yeah, no, it's true. The dismissal of Labuschagne, though, was quite amusing, wasn't it? I like him. I think he's quite a character, and he's obviously a decent player. But that was a mad dismissal.
He's a brilliant player. He's one of the world's best at the moment, and his stats would tell you that. But extraordinary dismissal. He got a touch of the Rory Burns, hasn't he, where his front foot inexplicably flew out to cover, and the ball came round the back of him and flattened him on his face, and he had to go. His extraordinary dismissal.
Yeah. As you said, to get in that position and to get Kouadio, you've been playing so well that you're thinking at that stage, you know, we can get all these out. As you said, just a real waste. It feels like a real wasted opportunity.
Yeah, it was. And I'd just come back to concentration. 12 for 3, you'd have a vital catch goes down. The bowlers lose the line and length, concentration. So Australia fought back brilliantly. Travis said that was a wonderful innings. But he attacked. I love that way of playing. When you're in a corner, it's like a boxer. You either go down or you come out. And they came out. I thought they played brilliantly, particularly Travis Head and Cameron Green, who's going to be a terrific player. They've got themselves on that pitch. Who knows? You don't really know what's going to happen. But on that pitch, I think they've got themselves, Australia, into a super position.
At a general level, Bumble, I mean, I know that substitutes in cricket can only field. Don't you think it's about time? I mean, they bring in the concussion substitute, yeah, they can bat and bowl. But why not? It's not like any other sport. You know that in football where a bloke could only do something, or in rugby, the substitute can do what anybody else can do. It does seem an odd sort of anachronism.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, Andy. It's a good point because it gets the rumble. It gets talked about from time to time. Should we have participating substitutes? There's a car gone past, so I'm not in the depths of anywhere. Substitutes, yeah, it might just gather legs. Because, I'll tell you why, because there's that much cricket, they're playing that much, and you can tell they're out on their feet and they're carrying injuries, both teams. And so it'll be a debate again that crops up. Can you have a participating substitute?
See, that's another good reason why
tactics as well.
Yeah, exactly. So you make it tactical. You don't, because obviously the first thing people would say is, well, people would cheat. They'd claim someone was injured, so you'd bring the sub on simply because they were in better nick. But so what? Make it tactical as they do in other sports. I mean, has it been talked about, and what's been the resistance to it, Bumble?
Well, I think tradition is always something, but if they wanted to start it, I reckon they would start it in one day cricket. It might be in the 100 or the blast. You can have a tactical substitution. But just think about it. In a test match, you're the first one in the history of the game that the coach says, mate, you've got to come off. You've got to come off. I'm sorry, mate, you've got to come off. Like, yeah. I mean, just remember substitutes at football when that first started. They came off with the head between the knees. Why have I got to go off? But now it's tactical.
Yeah, I mean, like Overton, for example, Overton comes on, of course, and Robertson can't walk, but Overton could bowl.
But if Burns plays and misses four times in the first over, I'm having him off. Yeah.
you'd be ruthless, wouldn't you? That's the thing. Yeah, you do worry what when we ultimately do get them out, what they can do to us on this pitch, Bumble.
Yeah, and I think they've got the bowlers to do it. And Boland looks a real fine for them. Lots of experience. Cameron Green, I think you need to be a tall bowler who will hit the pitch just back of the length and have great discipline. And Overton, you know, would have been a handful, as Jimmy Anderson would have been, because, you know, that's his name, his discipline.
The other interesting thing is in the Times the other day, it says, I think it was actually this morning, Joe Root has thrown his full support behind Chris Silverwood, indicating he'd like the England head coach to remain in his job beyond the Ashes. It's admirable in one sense, but a bit strange, I think, because it's not really worked.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about this, and having been in that position, I know what the demands of the job are. And it's unprecedented what he's had to go through. Silverwood, he would say that it's a great position to be in as head coach, but the wrong time with a pandemic and all the bubbles that they have to go through and the injuries. And if you look at the ICC Test Championship, I think this is an absolute nonsense. I looked at it and people said, oh, England are bottom. So I looked at it. England have played 8 test matches, and according to the ICC Championship, they're the worst team in test cricket. The team at the top has only played 2. Sri Lanka have played 2 matches. South Africa have played 2 matches. Now, how daft is that? That in a test championship table, the team that's only played 2 matches is top, and the team that's played 8 matches is bottom. Mm. It's a complete nonsense. So getting back to Silverwood, I think there's mitigating circumstances that he's got the job frustratingly at the wrong time. He's spinning plates. He really is spinning loads of plates. And what he wants, above anything, is a result.
We should have a quick mention for the other test series that's been going on and concluded earlier on today. South Africa beat India 2-1. They come from behind to win that 2-1. And Keegan Peterson looks a player, doesn't he?
Well, they're coming in, aren't they? They're finding fast bowlers. I heard Glenn McGrath on the radio today that, you know, he thought that test match cricket was really tough. And he got great rewards for being one of the best ever. But now he's saying that you get lads like Boland who comes in, and the lad in South Africa just comes in and they're taking wickets at about six, average of six. What's this test match cricket? It's so easy. So it's good to see these young guns coming through, and it'd be nice if we got one, if we got another Jimmy Anderson.
No, that would be fantastic. Mm. Well, look, we'll leave you. Have you got a distress flare on you? I mean, if you're near the road, I'd start thumbing a lift.
I said we should have set off with some flares, but I've got Google Maps. I've got Google Maps and I've looked at it. And if I just wish I knew which was north and south.
Cheers, Bumble. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
All right, lads. Bye, Mike. Bye.
There we are. David Lloyd there in a field somewhere.
Marvellous.
If you see him, if you drive past, look out for a man with two dogs and a couple of quite heavy poo bags by the sound of it.
You probably can get a compass app on your phone.
Yeah, well, it's got one built in. I mean, there's a compass on there. He'll be fine. He'll find his way back.
I've got one.
You'll find, yeah, you've got a compass. Every phone has a compass, Andy.
I didn't know that.
How often do you need a compass?
Well, not that often, obviously.
How often do you go tramping? When was the last time? I can't think of the last time I used a compass, to be honest.
If I search compass, will it come out?
You planning to sail the seven seas or something?
No.
They've got a sextant on it as well. It's fantastic. Go and check it out. The Apple sextant. Oh, you haven't got one of those, have you?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I fancy the draw, actually. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's 1-1.
I think we fully deserve to win all three games that we beat them last season. And as we didn't deserve, they were brilliant against us. 1-0 didn't flatter them at all. It could have been 3 or 4. They were brilliant in that game. But
it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next 24 hours around the North London derby. Looking at the reasons why the Burnley game at home at Leicester tomorrow has been called off, it's a combination of the virus and injuries. They applied for the postponement on the grounds that they didn't have the minimum 13 outfield players and one goalkeeper to contest the match. Of course, they lost Chris Wood, one player, the day before to Newcastle. And the Premier League board said they accepted Burnley's application as the club did not have the required numbers. But they say COVID-19 cases and injury are injuries. Arsenal do have a combination of COVID-19 cases and injuries. I suppose it does depend on which is which. If it's one COVID case and injuries, does that count?
And they've got people at the African Nations, but I don't think that counts either. Did you see Adrian put up this tweet yesterday? No, it was the Moose, actually. It wasn't Adrian. Sorry, Adrian. It was the Moose. Someone put Thomas Party, and they crossed out Party and put Thomas Work Event.
Yes, that's been very much amusing. Doing the rounds.
Yes, I didn't think it was Moose's original one.
I don't think he was the trendsetter.
This is the first time he's ever made me laugh, and then I looked at it and thought, I bet you didn't come up with that.
So, Mike Crack. Yeah, that's right. You heard right. K-R-A-C-K. He is the new team principal for Aston Martin. Congratulations to him. He may still like some TV work. And you've been coming up with some TV formats for him. One very, very odd one that we've been sent on social media, because many of these, of course, we can't read out, so thank you for those, is Cracks Cracks, says Chris. K, obviously the K in the first crack, the C in the second. Mike Crack takes you around the country to show you his favourite natural cracks, from horizontal cracks to step hair cracks and everything in between. At the end of the season, Mike Crack scores your cracks on the crack scale of cracks.
Surely the crackometer.
Yeah, it would be the crackometer, wouldn't it, really?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Now, Terry Farley has been refereeing for many, many years. He'll tell us just how many shortly. But he has decided that he will hang up the whistle after 7 decades, 88 years young. He's decided that's that. And he joins us now. Terry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Terry, what made you make the call? Because it's obviously been such a big part of your life. It can't be easy.
Well, in January, 4th of January 1952, was when I first passed my referee's examination at the headquarters of the Durham Football Association. And so on the 4th of January 2022, I had completed 70 years as a Durham County referee. So I thought, well, at 88, it's time to hang up the whistle after 70 years of a career which has given me an awful lot of pleasure.
Yeah, and such an important job, the grassroots refereeing, you know, we always say it, you would never game without the ref, and that was before I was born, so, you know, that's a quite a long time.
That is a long time, man.
this is a bit of an obvious question, Terry, but how's the game changed at your level over the years?
Well, it's changed immensely. I mean, I started off in the grassroots and made my way up through the progress ladder. And in 1965, I received an invitation from the Football League to become, in those days, a linesman. And again, I went, you know, progress until I got onto the referees list of the Football League, which saw me refereeing, you know, at Manchester, Liverpool, etc.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I ran the line twice at Hampden Park when Scotland played Peru and when Scotland played Argentina. And that's when the name of Maradona first hit the headlines, and we realised what a wonderful player he was. But, I mean, it saw me run the line at Wembley in the Charity Shield. I ran the line at Barcelona and Juventus. Places like that. But in those days, when I was refereeing on the Football League, I mean, we had much of the day, and the ITV did a spot as well. Mm. But of course, now in the Premier League, every decision is analysed. VAR takes over on occasion. So it's evolved over the years. Lots of foreign players are in the in football now, in English football, which there was the odd one or two in my day, but not the number that there is today. Yeah. So it's evolved immensely over my career.
What about respect for referees, Terry, and grassroots, and all the years you've done it? Have you watched that deteriorate, or in your experience, has it not been an issue?
Oh yeah, it's a big issue. Again, going back, you know, to when I refereed in junior football, which was very strong in those days. There was quite a few junior leagues throughout Durham County. Generally speaking, respect from the touchlines and respect from the players was good. But over the years, I mean, I spent several years on the Durham County Football Association representing the referees in Durham County, sat on discipline, and the amount of abuse now that referees get is really unacceptable, both on and off the field, I'm afraid. Yeah. And that's at grassroots level as well.
You sound pretty frisky. Have you kept yourself fit?
Yes. Well, I've always been fit. I played football for the school. I was a fairly good cross country runner. I played youth football in Durham County. I played squash, cricket, etc. I'm in the gym four times a week now.
Wow!
So
that's amazing.
I'm pretty fit. I really am. Yeah.
Do you still get about the pitch, or do you the touch of the magic robot? We used to have a ref in our league, an old ref, and he used to stand in the centre circle, sort of marshalling the game from that point.
You were still keeping up with play right to the end, were you, Terry?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Oh no, I wasn't one for standing in the centre circle. No, I took pride in my fitness, and obviously at 88 years of age, you're not as fit as you were. But I mean, I've got a game coming up a week on Sunday at Durham University, which will be the final one, and that's Tyne Tees Television coming out
brilliant.
To nice cover one. Me, and that will be the last day. last game.
Yeah. And finally, sorry, would you recommend it still, despite everything, despite you say it's not quite the job it was because of the lack of discipline and respect, but would you still recommend it?
Oh, yes. I mean, in my view, there's never been a better time to be a referee, because in my day, you were pretty much on your own. Now we've got coaches and mentors and observers, you know, so if you want to be a referee, then in my view, now's the time.
Excellent. Well, Terry, I'm sure all the players you've refereed want to say thank you for your service. So, and enjoy that last game at Durham University, and all the best to you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling. Thank you.
There we are. Terry Farley there. What a top man.
What a top man.
88.
Fantastic.
Great nick for 88. Isn't sound that compass mentis now.
I'd definitely be a magic robot.
Good old Terry. That's brilliant. 88 years old, and he's still got another game in him. Fantastic. So
he's doing the birthday spread next week.
Yeah, Terry. We'll have to game. We start repeating the birthdays. We get old Terry. That's right. Yeah. What's the scores, Jeff? Terry started getting angry with Jeff Peters for crashing his gags, giving him a red card. Almost certainly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, of course, that music signals the arrival always around this time on Friday of Martin Kellner, who's been taking in lots and lots of sport on TV.
He never came back to me about Cedric from the Three Monarchs. I can't believe
it. I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought we'd had a turn, Martin. I mean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I don't know Cedric from the Three Monarchs.
Well, exactly.
Monarchs.
Who does? I mean, I think he's made
well,
him up.
Andy, yeah, possibly.
I sent you a picture of him. Yeah, he does look like
they played a massive harmonica of Cedric and the Two.
Yes. I did see them on some of those variety. It's coming back now. Yeah. Sunday night at the London Palladium. Yeah. With Norman Vaughan. Ooh, dodgy. I remember.
You're taking us down a complete. Yeah.
But it was a good lookalike, didn't you not think? Even if you didn't know.
Yes, it was a good lookalike, even though I'd forgotten the original. It was a very, very good lookalike, Andy.
So, just. Yes, sorry,
just
Martin.
Before I get on to what I'm talking about, we heard the name of Sue Gray crop up again, and it does pretty well every time they're interviewing someone from the Conservatives about the controversy. Doesn't Sue Gray sound like the name of a girl you were at school with years ago? It does. It's that sort of name, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel for her because they keep saying how great she is, and if she comes up with this report and it's got like spelling mistakes in it, she puts semicolons in the wrong place.
She was always like that at school. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. In our maths class, she wasn't the greatest.
No.
She poked me once with a protractor.
Did she? Yeah, I can believe it.
Compass it really hurt. So,
Wing attack on the netball team. Yeah. I watched Cheer, which is a sensation. I mean, it's just such a massive hit for Netflix. They're into season two, episode one, which is subtitled Everybody Hopes.
You should tell us.
This is the Cheerleaders.
This is the Cheerleaders TV show. And it was big, wasn't it?
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely massive in Australia as well. You know, you saw one scene where these cheerleaders were being interviewed by somebody from the Today programme, which is the biggest programme in Australia, apparently. And they were there watching them train, and, apart from anything that Max Rushton does. But apart from that, it is the biggest show in Australia. But it's been a massive success on Netflix. And I think when you know, a success on Netflix is sort of bigger than any success that we can, you know, that we can imagine, really. Mm. Because obviously it's gone international. And it's such a massive business as well. It's not the Hammerettes, this, I'll tell you.
Hammerettes. This is the thing. People think it's that, but
it's still going. The Hammerettes, have they?
They disbanded, have they?
That's a pity.
They're not going to the London Stadium. I think probably round about the turn of the millennium they stopped doing
on the way of Pan's people.
Different times, Martin.
Different times,
but this is—I mean, it's so gymnastic, isn't it? So choreographed and gymnastic. It's incredibly impressive when you see it done at the top level like this.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you about the two teams that they sort of focus on are Navarro and Trinity Valley Community College. So it's two sort of rival colleges in Texas. And the main focus of the show is Navarro and their coach, who's, I think the best way to describe her is Steely. Steely. Yes. She's in charge of the whole thing. And the programme starts quite dramatically because one of the members of her team is involved in a very serious court case, which has obviously happened since the filming of season two. I've only watched season two, episode one. I'm not that crazy. I'm going to binge watch the whole thing. But, I watched episode one, and she comes on at the start of episode one saying that, the only reason I wanted to do this docu-series, she calls it, is to focus on the athleticism and the hard work. It's not to do with the hate and the negativity. Well, of course, as far as the TV company is concerned, as far as Netflix is concerned, they're not bothered about the athleticism. Yes, sure, it's great to watch, but what they want is what they call making the mat, which is basically the auditions, because there's 40 girls and only, or 40 people, and only 20 of them are going to get in. So they have this thing called Mat Selection Day. Oh. And obviously the money shot is the young girl who doesn't make the mat, as they call it. And she phones her mum and breaks down in tears. And her mum's made huge sacrifices, because we know what college education costs in the United States. And we know how much money they spend on getting into it. So it's cruel, to be honest. It is a cruel show. But it's fascinating to watch.
Okay. It strikes me, Martin, that you could write a book about it called Sit Down and Cheerlead.
Yeah, that's
Sit Down and Cheerlead. That's very, a nice very good idea. I'll tell you what, it is. It's toxic for someone like me, because my wife came in the other day and she said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing a bit of work. And she says, how do you mean you're doing a bit of work? You're watching all these girls jumping up and down. I said, no, I'm researching a spot for Hawksby and Jacobs the national radio station, Talk Sport.
You stick with that story, Martin.
Yes, I will. Yes. But it's you can't take your eyes off it, I have to say. But it's the fact the fact that somebody's going to get excluded from this. They're not going to get on the mat when they do the final, which they do in Daytona. And it comes up, you get the captions all the time, 60 days till Daytona, 57 days till Daytona. But you've got to be fascinated by Monica, who's the, I suppose, 40 or 50 something woman who's in charge, and she's sort of groomed to within an inch of her life, but you know that she's going to take those difficult decisions. But she'll do it with a smile on her face. She's a classic reality TV character, I have to say. And if you've not watched the programme, it'll tell you a lot about the divide between the United States and the UK when it comes to any sort of athletics competition. And it is obviously the end of the day all about money, and all the talk shows have you see lots of scenes of them on Ellen and various other talk shows. It's become massive.
It's on Netflix, Martin, isn't it? First series.
It's on Netflix
as well, of course.
Yeah, it's on the front page of Netflix.
Last week, a lot of people saying this was very good. I've not watched it yet. It was the Kasper Schmeichel documentary on ITV4.
Yes, I have to apologise, first of all. I misspelled his name on Twitter.
You named him after the friendly ghost.
I did, Casper the Friendly Ghost, which, of course, is predictive text, I'm saying.
No problem.
But obviously, there's three key events that it focuses on, this programme. Leicester City winning the Premier League, the helicopter crash involving the owner, Vichai, and Christian Eriksen's heart attack. Mm. And Kasper Schmeichel played a key role in all of them. You get the impression at the end of it that he is the guy you'd want in your team, even if he wasn't a great goalkeeper, just for the fact that he is he's a real team player. A lot of it revolves around interviews with his dad, but apart from all the other things he survived a spell, because he went round to loads of teams on loan. He was at Bury, he was at Darlington, Falkirk, I believe. He was also at Leeds United for a while. And there was a favourite song of Leeds United's where they used to sing, "We like you, but your dad is..." And then one of the... Yes. The more colourful four-letter words, which we don't say on this station. But, they would sing, or any station, indeed. Although maybe somewhere on the internet. But anyway, they used to sing this song. And he was saying just how very hurtful it was. But, he survived that. and and tackled it with equanimity, if you like. And he talks about an exchange he had with a Leeds United fan where he repeated that word about the guy's dad, you know, and said, "How would you like it?" sort of thing. Mm. So, you know, he addresses issues and things, and it's just. If you're a Leeds United, if you're a Leicester City fan, it'd be great to see all that again. He's a family man. He didn't go initially to the party, you know, Jamie Vardy having a party and all that, because he wanted to be at home with his family. So all that nice touches like that. And a lot of interviews with the guy from the local paper, who obviously knows him fairly well, and comes over as I said, the sort of character you want in your team, apart from anything else, apart from him being a great shot stopper. If you're a Leicester City fan, I don't think beyond that, I'm not sure it's of that great interest. Except it does remind you of these huge events which have happened in the history of that club.
So, Martin, you are back overnight, I take it?
I certainly am back overnight. There will be more chat about Sue Gray and various other top issues for our talk radio listeners. And obviously, we'll... if there's anything happening in the Ashes, John Norman will join us through the show. Fantastic. And update on. I think it starts late. It's about 4:30. About 4:30, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Squeeze in some telly that isn't sport related this weekend. You need your card mark, so let's get that done now. Mm. The Star's very own Brighton supporting Mike Ward joins us. Good afternoon, Mike.
Nervously joins you. Yes.
Yeah, no. Are you going?
I think so. You know what, though? I did go through a phase where I couldn't bring myself to go because it's too tense, and I don't like what I become. I don't mean in a really extreme sense, but it's one of those games where you just feel really on edge.
Football.
It is only a game.
Coming from him. Oh, goodness. A man who can't sleep if Chelsea draw. Oh, well. Yes. I mean, yeah, I know. No one likes the derby, do they?
I think some do. I think some people revel in it.
Hopefully cards for Brighton.
Well, they're playing you next.
Yes.
See what I mean?
You got you worried then, obviously. That's good. That's a good sign.
So Afterlife...
Who'd have thought the day would ever come when we'd worry?
Worried. Afterlife is drops, as they say, today on Netflix, the final series.
The final series, yeah. Ricky Gervais's black comedy drama, which I honestly think is probably the best series on Netflix, but then that's just my own personal opinion.
I do. I was saying to Paul before we started, I think this is the best thing he's ever done.
It is, yeah, because it's not a million miles away. He, you know, as an actor, he's always going to be Ricky Gervais, isn't he? You know, but there is something about the way he's kind of progressed and all the stuff he's done that just adds so many layers to it. So yeah, it's funny, but his character, who is, you know, for those who haven't seen it, is a local newspaper reporter who loses his wife to cancer in the first series. She's played by Kerry Godleman. She crops up in sort of video flashbacks all the way through. Just hates the world. He's bitter and angry, lashes out. A lot of the funniest stuff is the way he lashes out, but there's also proper depth to his character. So he's plausible and you know, realistic and believable. And there's also development, and so it's not just gag after gag. You actually think, oh, how is he going to move on from this when he is so angry with the world, and how people, you know, is he going to sort of reject people and what have you. And there's also this development that Ashley Jensen's character, again, she's you know, obviously done stuff in them before, plays a care home nurse who, you know, he's obviously very friendly with. She clearly hopes something more will come from the relationship. Is he ready to move on? Who knows? But anyway, yeah, it's lovely. It's very, very funny. And there's still some great, genuine laugh out loud moments, as well as the deeper stuff, as it were.
And if you want to hear Ricky Gervais talking about it, he's on Graham Norton. It's quite a stellar show tonight, isn't it?
It is a great show, yeah. He's got Cate Blanchett's on, Ricky Gervais, as you say. Anton Deck talking about Limitless Win. I don't know if you saw any of Limitless Win.
I haven't seen it.
It's unusual for them to be on BBC, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah, absolutely. Well, they did something. They did a Saturday Night Show about 20-odd years ago, but apart from that, they're not on very often. Elvis Costello is on as well, doing his new single. He's on Saturday Kitchen tomorrow morning as well.
There you go. That's 10:35, Graham Norton Show, and you can watch Afterlife, of course, whenever you like. Would I Lie to You Tonight, 8 o'clock BBC One, Bob Mortimer is always
Worth mentioning, because Bob Mortimer's on, and it arguably the best guest they ever have on is Bob Mortimer, because he just does the brilliant Flights of Fancy that he... that are his trademark. Suggs is on, Angelica Bell and Holly Willoughby.
Mm. You've got a new detective series on BBC Four tomorrow night.
Yeah, this is... I've only dipped into this. It's the first two episodes of Hidden Assets, BBC Four tomorrow night, 9 o'clock and 9:50. It's an Irish-Belgian production. So there are... It's partly in Flemish with subtitles, but not an awful lot. And the action takes place both in Ireland and in Antwerp, I think, a lot of it. It's what pretentiously you kind of call a noir. In other words, it's quite sort of, it has that kind of dark undercurrent to it, obviously. An awful lot of stuff goes on in the first episode that seems completely and utterly disjointed, but I think it's one of those things that if you stick with it, the characters and the connections begin to make sense. And the main character is a police detective played by Angeline Ball, who people of my generation think of as one of the backing singers from The Commitments. Ooh. So part of you expects her to burst into Mustang Sally halfway through, but it doesn't happen. Or so far, anyway.
So far, maybe dipped in, part two. 9 o'clock, Hidden Assets, BBC Four. The Masked Singer is
I don't
on.
Get it. I've watched
king.
The first two in Four, and then when it came to the third one, I just got so bored with it. I just thought, what's the point of this? The only
well, it's not a great deal of point to it.
The only interest in it is when they take their heads off at the end. That's it.
Take the heads off, but
false. Take the mask off.
Yeah. Traffic cone, bagpipes, panda, poodle, and rock hopper.
Yeah, what
those
a firmer solicitors they were.
Who was Mushroom?
Who was Mushroom? I don't know. Who was Mushroom? Was Mushroom
is he gone? Is Mushroom gone?
Oh, well, I've been kept
you're
in the dark about that.
Obviously not bothered at all. What happened to Mushroom? I won't be able
only
to see
it. Only because we thought it was Jane Horrocks.
You see, there you go.
So,
you see, now,
so he's invested in it. He's
yeah,
a piece
you
of
are.
Work,
you,
isn't
you
I
hate,
get it.
You hate yourself for it.
The bottom lip was going then because he didn't know Mushroom was.
Yeah. My wife absolutely hates it. So I switch it on and say, I've got to watch this for work. That's my standard line whenever I watch rubbish that I don't really need to watch. And she sits and then she starts getting involved. You see, just like Andy, she pretends she doesn't like it, but she actually is emotionally and spiritually almost invested in it.
Dancing on Ice returns on Sunday, 6:30.
6:30,
and there's sporting aspects of that.
Lots of sporting, Regan Gascoigne, who's obviously a dancer, so he's and Brendan Cole, who hasn't got any sporting connection, but was obviously on Strictly. And
Ben Foden from the World of Rugby.
Ben Foden, you've got Kai White, who's BMX rider, and of course Rachel Stevens, who played rugby for the S Club Sevens. So there's quite a lot.
She played. That's a good line.
Yeah. And Oti Mabuse is a judge, and people are sort of thinking that she might be going in the transfer window to ITV.
Well, there's every possibility. Is it just on loan?
On loan with a view to buying, I think. Well, that's what they're talking about.
She's doing David and Ivor's new show, dating show.
Okay, well, what about that?
There you go.
So that's if 6:30. How long is it going for? It's normally on for
about
four hours. Yeah, about 4 hours.
Did we practice that?
Like Wagner. So
it's almost identical and a similar target.
He'll be on it next. It's only a matter of time before the TV starts eating itself and we get people who get kicked out of one show. Yeah. God, we get that anyway.
You notice, by the way, that I didn't mention that I'm not going to watch it because it's too cold.
Yeah. That's
I'm not going to watch it because I don't like it.
I am going to watch it, even though it's cold. I'll just put a jumper on.
Vera's back. Andy was telling us that Brenda Blethyn is quite a decent footballer, so I was wondering if she could make the North London derby at left wing back on Sunday. But he said she was caught playing a bit of football.
I always get put off by this being 2 hours. I just can't sit there for 2 hours and watch this.
Record it and then fast forward.
Watch it in
But it does segments. Go on a bit. Actually, we started watching it last week because Julie, my wife, quite likes it when she remembers it's on. And then I thought, she doesn't know it's 2 hours, does she? She's, no way she's going to last
a big commitment,
2 hours. So she's sort of really flagging by about 9:10.
But yeah.
Craig Parker, I've only dipped into this one. So Craig Parkinson, obviously of Line and Duty and other things, is in it. So you're going to think, oh, he's
good. 9 o'clock, Channel 4 pay for Sue Perkins to go on holiday. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. That's another one.
But it's in a camper van, to be fair, Marvel's. On her own. So it's not the height of luck.
Paul Merton and
these are great phone calls to the... hello, Sue. It's John here. Are you interested in going around America in a camper van too right I am. It's fantastic, isn't it?
And Clarkson's big farming adventure. Oh no, Kelvin's big farming adventure.
That's on Monday.
Yes, yeah. Monday, first of a six-parter. Can the ex Emmerdale and Strictly champion make it as a farmer for real, when apparently he'd never even seen a sheep or something when he joined Emmerdale? So it's
unlikely.
He struggles.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game tonight, Mike.
Enjoy
the game tonight. That's right. There we are. Mike Ward there. He'll be back
the
next
Hawksby
week.
And Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We should also thank you for your fine Mike crack suggestions this afternoon for TV for me. Mike may pick one or two of those. I doubt we'll be invited into the mechanics area, an Aston Martin race. Well, I mean, Mike probably didn't take too kindly to that. But there we are. Anyway. We'll catch up with you on Monday, reflecting on all the big games over the weekend. Until then, have a fantastic weekend. If you can join us for one on Monday, great. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available at 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.